Well, sorry. Allergies are fun, aren't they? Okay, so Monty has this whole get up over here kind of thing. No pun intended, get up. Okay, there we go. Okay, so he's got a saddle and he's got the cowboy hat. And I remember when he asked me, he said, "Hey, can you cover for us? I'm going to need you to do one of the Sundays." And I said, "Yeah, that's fine." And he's like, "By the way, don't freak out. I'm going to be doing something in the beginning at each sermon, but you don't have to do it, okay?" And I was like, "Oh gosh, what's he doing? Why? What is it?" He's like, you'll see, don't worry." I'm like, "Okay, nothing good comes from you'll see, don't worry, right?" So when he walked in that first time with the saddle and the cowboy hat, I was like, "I am not a cowboy. I've ridden a horse maybe like twice, and one time I got bucked off the back of it. So this isn't going to go very well." But anyways, I thought, well, we have a saddle here, and we have a cowboy hat. Why don't I bring in a horse, and we'll complete this thing, right? Everybody's like, "Well, you got to be kidding me. You are not walking a horse into this building, are you?" No, but I do have a horse. I'm going to share with you guys. Monty grew up riding horses and had many great adventures out ranching and doing all these things. And so I thought I would share with you guys the many adventures that I've had on my horse, okay? So I've got it over here. I'm going to bring it up on the stage for you. It just so happens mine is steel horse. It's not living, okay? See if I can get this to stay still for me. So this is my horse. This is my steel horse, okay? So, as my dad would say, this is my steel horse. Every time we'd stop for a break or something out on one of our bikepacking adventures, he'd say, "I'm going to lean my horse over for a little bit and let it take a break here." So my steel horse, okay? So the similarities here, there are quite many, or there's quite a bit of similarities here in horses and bikes. You're like, "Okay, no, there's not. One breathes, one lives, one does not." You do have to both ride them, right? So there's one similarity. Now, when you go out on your horse for the day at the ranch, or whatever you may be doing, or if you're just out riding, you have to be prepared, right? You have to know all the little details. You have to know, am I going out for the day? Am I working? Am I just going out for an adventure? What is all this stuff? Same thing here. I need to know what I'm doing. If I just throw a bunch of stuff on a bike and go, how far do you think I would really make it? Yeah, not very far, right? Maybe a little bit. So we used to do this. We used to prepare people. And we would spend months on end helping people prepare so that when we would take them out to Colorado in the Rocky Mountains for a week with all their gear on this bike, as much preparation as we would give them, they would get out there and go, "I don't remember anything you told me to do." We'd be like, "It's all right, don't worry, you know, come along, let's go. We're going to filter some water, we're going to get some food cooked for you." And the last thing they need at the end of the day is they're just like, "I'm just trying to pedal this bike. The last thing I want to do is set up a tent, make food, and do all this other stuff," right? And so there are some similarities, okay? So there's some preparation in sending. There's some things that we're doing here. And if you're catching on to what Monty's saying, the great adventure is a lot of preparation, right? Remember the passage that he had for us, Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5. If you want to open your Bible and turn there real quick. Give me a second to pull up my notes here. So, Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5 says, "I have a holy plan for you, one that I have prepared for you even before you saw the light of day." And so I wanted to take this, and I wanted to kind of talk about what Monty's already been talking about, Pastor Monty's been talking about, and I'm going to slip in what I'm going to be talking about today here, Colossians 3:17. And I wanted to see you guys to get this point here, the preparation, okay? The great adventure is best experienced through the preparation. Okay? So first one that we talked about was shaped, right? But I kind of shuffled it up a little bit here without asking Monty to do that. So Monty, I am sorry. Don't freak out on me here real quick if you're watching. So we did seek. The first thing we do in preparation for a great adventure is we seek God. That's the first thing we have to do. We have to seek Him first, and He will draw near to us. And when He draws near to us, Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5, we're going to be shaped. Remember what He talked about in shaped? The acrostic that He used, shaped? If you don't, go back and watch that. Go back and get those notes again, okay? He will shape us for this holy plan that He has for us when we draw near to Him and we seek Him. And when we're shaped, we send out, not on our own, not to do our things, not to go and just do whatever we want to do. No, we're sent to be a representative for the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3:17, a representative, an ambassador. And that's what we're going to look at today. What does that look like? How do we remember what we're doing? What are some things that we can keep in check so that we stay in that representative format? And then lastly, what he talked about last week, serve. If we can do all these things, seek and be shaped and send to be his representative, then there's no doubt that we're going to rejoice in laying down our lives for others. That we're not going to love just pouring out ourselves so that they find a loving relationship with Jesus. And the verse that I kind of really like knits this all together for me is Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19:21 teaches us, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. That last part there. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. We have many plans, don't we? We have many dreams, right? But is it the Lord's purpose? Did I seek Him daily? Is it His holy plan that He has for my life? Does that allow me to be the representative I need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ? Will I rejoice in doing this? Or am I going to go out guilty of doing this? So I'm going to raise my hand. Am I going to go out and do this great thing for people and then go, well, why isn't anybody happy? Why isn't anybody rejoicing? I'm laying down my life here for them and they're just kind of like, yeah, cool, thanks. Thanks for doing that for me. Bye. See ya. How many of us have been there, right? How many of us have felt that after we've served all day long, right? I'm not saying that it's wrong in what you did. And I'm not saying that I was wrong in what I was doing, but maybe I should have checked first, right? Maybe I should have sought God first. Maybe I should have made sure that it was fitting in that holy plan that He had for us, for me. Maybe I should have said, all right, Lord, am I going to be a representative of You? And I'm going to let Your glory shine, or am I going to shine? Okay? So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Colossians 3. I'm sorry, I don't like to drink while I'm up here teaching, but allergies in Florida are fun, right? They're really getting me this year. We're going to be in verses 1 through 17, Colossians 3, 1 through 17. We're going to look at Paul's letter, who is encouraging the readers of this letter to remember the Christian conduct they were called to when they put their faith in Christ. This Christian conduct is not just for fellowship among one another, but a conduct that should rule our lives as we serve in the world. It should be evident in our lives, not only in here with one another, but out there too, right? We should look the same here and out there. We should love and care for as much for one another in here as we do for those out there. We shouldn't wait for them to walk through the doors. Maybe they're waiting for us to walk through their doors. And when we get this Christian conduct right, we'll be pursuing them and walking through their doors. I can't tell you how many times I've been standing there going, man, God, it's only by the grace of You that I have found this person and I'm standing here doing this. Like, there's no way I would have manufactured this ever. No way. Okay. So I'm going to give you another acrostic here. I loved what Monty did with the shapes, so I'm going to give you another one that I want you to do. If you've ever been in outdoors or camping or doing any of those things, in adventure ministry, that was what I did for many years before coming into the church for nonprofits. We used these acrostics all the time. It helped people remember, okay, this is what I need to do. This is how I need to do it. We simplify these things, okay? So I love what he did there with shape, so I wanted to give you another one for send. So when we go out to display this Christian conduct, we can remember, I am being sent for the Lord. God is sending, S-E-N-D, we're going to look at that, S-E-N-D. God is sending me. And now I can remember what the S is, I can remember what the E is, I can remember what the N is, and the D. As long as I keep those in check, then I know that the Lord's purpose is going to prevail. I know that I'm doing what God's plan was for my life. I know that it's going to draw me near to Him, and I know that I'm in constant connection with Him. Okay? So the first one, S. S is for Savior. So when I ask this question, you guys are free to say and shout out, boldly shout out, who do we follow?
Jesus.
Okay, let's try that again. Who do we follow?
Jesus.
There we go. I love that. All right, we're awake. So I love this. There's an argument going on. Is it GIF or GIF? Anybody? We'll let the younger crowd. GIF or GIF? GIF. Okay, GIF. I love the GIF that's going around on social media right now. If you guys could pull that up real quick. Me, I want to follow Jesus. Me following Jesus. I love this little girl's face. Like, oh my gosh, yeah, like horrified. Like, why am I on this ride? Why did my parents let me do this? You know, just this pure, like all emotions are represented in this like little 10-second clip here, right? You know, we put our faith in Jesus. I step into the little teacup ride, I get on it and going, I'm putting my faith in Jesus, I want to follow Him, and then all of a sudden the thing starts moving, and I'm like, hold on one second, that wasn't supposed to start happening. And so you get that look right there. Oh, can bring that back up. You get that look right there, like, oh, and you're holding on, you're kind of like a little dazed, like, I don't know what to do. But right there at the end there, if you notice, she started smiling, okay? We'll get through there. Hold on one second, she's going to smile. There she goes. There is a smile in there. So I want to encourage you guys, because I felt the same way when I said, I want to follow Jesus. I want Him to be my all in all, right? I no longer want to be a slave. I want to be free. And I stepped into that little teacup, and there was a little horrifying there for a while there. He did some things in my life that I was like, whoa, God, I did not sign up for any of this. What are you doing? Stop doing this. But then I hung in there. He wouldn't let me off the teacup ride, okay? I hung in there, and now I'm at that point where, hold on, we'll get to it, right there. I'm right there where I'm smiling, okay? Maybe not every day, you can ask my wife, whatever. but I am smiling. It's joyful, it's fun. I wouldn't want to be doing anything else, okay? I want to follow Jesus. So S, Savior. So Colossians 1:3-4 says, and we're in the, I'm using the Living Bible translation. Since you became alive again, so to speak, when Christ arose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures and joys of heaven, where He sits beside God in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is our real life, comes back again, you will shine with Him and share in all His glories. I want us to focus in on verses 2 and 3 here. Let heaven fill your thoughts. When I follow Jesus, when I sin, when He sends me out, I'm not on my own. I'm not out here to do my own thing. I'm out here following the Savior. I'm following Jesus. He's got the plan. He's got the map. He's got the directions, right? So I got to follow Him. And I want to follow him. I don't want anything else. Nothing else is going to help me follow him but him. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. There's nothing that's going to help you follow him here, right? Except for us, right? He alone is the person I need to follow, okay? You should have as little desire for this world, and I love how he puts this in this translation, as a dead person does. What? A dead person has no value in this world, right? Nothing's going to help him become alive again, right? But we are not dead, but we can be alive again in Christ, right? So your real life is in heaven, Christ, with God. So let's make sure that we're following him. So S, when we send out and we go out to be a representative for Christ, to rejoice in laying down our lives for him, let's make sure that it's only heaven that's filling my thoughts, that I'm only following Jesus. And so at The Rock Discipleship Journey, we do three things, or we teach. The first thing we teach, sorry, let me get this right. I got too many words in my mouth, right? The first thing we teach is followership. How many of you have ever heard of the word followership? I got a couple there, yeah. Some of them are raising their hands. They're like, yeah, we did. We talked about that. Followership's not a very big word. It's not one that's known around, right? It's humbly submitting. So there's three things that we talk about right out of the gate. The first one is we are called to abandon what we know to be made new in Christ. And there's this statement that I use in this first one. This is week one. We just talk about this. Week one. We abandon what we know to be made new in Christ. And I make this statement, and this is a hard statement for me to make with this group. I'm naturally an ambassador by heart. I want to see the good in everybody. I want to champion them. And so when I make this statement, I always like grin and bear and like, oh, I don't want to make the statement because I know that they're not going to like it. And so I do, but I make it anyways. And we get through it, and we come out the other side, and it makes sense, right? We bring nothing to the table when we put our life in Christ. There is nothing of value that we bring to the table. There's nothing good. There's nothing, no new tips or tricks or anything that we can do to help Christ. So we have to abandon everything we know to be made new in Christ. And I help them understand that is the most freeing thing in the world. Like, imagine that. I don't have to bring anything to the table. I can let go of it all. I can put it all down. I'm not condemned. I'm not judged. I don't have to justify what I did or why I'm doing this. I just simply have to set it down, stand up, and walk towards him and be filled with Christ. Like, that's amazing. That's power. That makes me want to follow Jesus. Now I don't have these burdens, these things carrying or pulling me back towards not following him. Then the second one. We are called to an intimate relationship with Jesus. If we're holding on to things and we think we're going to be bringing something to this relationship, this transaction, we're not going to have that intimate relationship with him, right? We're going to struggle. Our minds aren't going to be full of him, of heaven. We're not going to desire that intimate relationship with him. God wants an intimate relationship with us. Let me say that again. God wants an intimate relationship with us, with you. That's amazing. The God of all things, the most powerful, the creator of all things, wants an intimate relationship with you, with me. Follow him. Number three, we are called to share with those around us about Jesus. Okay, I'm a little pre-Facebook here. So yeah, that's how old I am. I'm going to turn 40 next month, right? So I'm having a hard time with it. Everybody else is like, oh, whatever, you know. Yeah, you're turning 40. I wish I could be 40 again, right? 40 is the new 30, right? So I was a little before Facebook while dating my wife, so I didn't have a Facebook account, so I didn't get to announce that I was in a relationship with Sarah Gerke. Gerke's her last name. That's her maiden name. I didn't get to do that. Okay? But today, what's the first thing we do when we get in a relationship? When we're in a relationship, and I'm trying not to look at you guys over here. I don't want you guys to feel like judged or anything. What's the first thing we do when we're in a relationship, or we get engaged, or we get married? What do we do on Facebook, on social media? We post it, right? We cry. I wasn't expecting that. We cry, right? No, it's a joyful thing, Lewis. We announce it, right? I'm in this intimate relationship with this person. I want everybody to know about it. I want them to see pictures of us together. I want them to see what we're doing and why we're doing it. That's what number three is about. We are called to share with those around us about Jesus. If I'm in this intimate relationship with Him, I'm being filled with Christ because I've abandoned my old life and I'm being made new in Christ, then I'm going to want everybody to know about this. I'm going to run out and tell everybody about this. Well, I didn't get that opportunity with Sarah because when we on our second date, I walked in the house and all three of my sisters, sorry if you guys are watching this, all three of my sisters were sitting at the counter waiting for us. And they're like, so when's the wedding? I was like, wow, second date, come on guys, you're killing me here. They knew Sarah and they grew up with her, but anyways, so I didn't get that opportunity, but everybody knew. But when I was dating Sarah, I wanted everybody to know, and I told people about it because I was overjoyed with that. And so when we send and we follow, we don't just head down, I'm just following Jesus, you know? No, it's head up. I'm looking around. This is amazing. And I'm like trying to get everybody's attention over there. Like, hey, by the way, get over here and start following this Jesus. This is amazing stuff. Come follow me as I follow Jesus. I want you to know about this. So who are we following?
Jesus.
There we go. There. I love that. Oh, that second time around, that was way better. All right. So I want to give you four verses that not only helps me, but I hope will help you guys in keeping these three things kind of together and just kind of really encouraging you and strengthening you through this. So the first one is John 10:10. Pretty familiar verse. Most people have heard this verse. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. If you need a reason to abandon everything that you have, you think you're going to bring to this relationship, I want you to remember John 10:10. If I bring anything to this relationship, it's going to steal my intimacy with God. It's going to rob me from that relationship that I want to have with Him. It's going to kill that relationship. It's going to destroy that relationship. So therefore, I'm going to put down everything I know and be made new in Christ. Because He wants me to have life and have it to the full. The next one, John 3:17. Why would He want us to do that? Well, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. He's not going to condemn you. You don't need to justify anything. You don't need to make right on anything. You just simply got to let it go and put your faith in Him. Or why else would He send His Son into the world, be nailed to a cross, die for all sins, everybody's, die and rise again, conquering death, if it didn't mean something? If all He wanted to do at the end of that was to come out of the grave and go, man, I got a list of things that I need to talk to you guys all about. Like, no. He came out of the grave, He says, I'm going to send the most powerful thing to you, to fill you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to guide you, to equip you. I want to save you from this world. So let go of those things. The next one, John 10:11. I am a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Now I know that this is the good shepherd. I know that this is who He is. He lays down His life for me. And I will do the same for others. because I want them to know and love and be in a relationship with Jesus. And the last one, Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. If you ever had any doubt, I'm in this relationship with Jesus, I'm following Him, but you know, there is something back there that I just can't let go of and I keep holding on to it, let it go. You are with the Good Shepherd. He is your shepherd. He's going to lead you beside still waters. You lack nothing. You find everything in Him. Okay? So following the Savior enhances the great adventure. The next one is E, eternity. So we got Savior, we got eternal. my note said eternity, sorry about that. Eternal. So what's critical? Some of the people that have been through the discipleship journey will know these questions that I'm going to be asking. What's critical in this now? Now that I'm following Him, what's the next thing? What's critical? Salvation. My salvation is critical. How many of you remember flying pre-TVs? I know, I'm dating myself again here. How many of you remember getting on a plane and there were no TVs, there was no Wi-Fi? How many? We got a few here. Okay, what? The stewardess actually had to do something, right? I'm sorry. Stewards do amazing things. So I am not by no means taking any shots at stewardess here. So if anybody's a stewardess or has family members that are stewardess, I am not taking any shots at them. They actually had to do the one thing. Before the plane could push away, they had to go through all the safety things, right? They had to tell you so that you would be aware of what's going on in the event that something happens, of course. You're already freaked out that I'm on this plane that's going to be up in the air. The last thing I want to talk about is what happens if this thing's going to come flying out of the air. but I remember as they get through all these things, they get to the part where it goes, okay, and in the event that the cabin pressure loses its pressure, what happens next? Yeah, the mask drops out, right? I remember as a kid on this plane with my parents hearing this for the first time going, okay, my parents are going to put my mask on me and I'll be okay. And they're going to take care of me first because I'm the kid, right? What does the stewardess tell them? Secure your mask first. Make sure the air is flowing. Then help the person next to you. I was like, no. No, that's not how this works. Mom and Dad, you put my mask on first, then you get your own on. I don't care if you pass out. So what's critical? When you're sitting here and I'm asking this question and you're like, man, that's very selfish. First thing is my salvation is critical. David, other people's salvation is critical. Yes, you're right. It is. Other people's salvation, whether they have it or don't, is critical. But first and foremost, your salvation is critical. So let's dive back in. Colossians 3, 5 through 14. Away then with sinful earthly things, dead in the evil desires lurking within you, have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity, lust, and shameful desires. Don't worship the good things of life, for that is idolatry. God's terrible anger is upon those who do such things. You used to do them when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to cast off and throw away all these rotten garments of anger, hatred, cursing, and dirty language. Don't tell lies to each other. It was your old life with all its wickedness that did that sort of thing. Now it is dead and gone. You are living a brand new life, brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more of what is right and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ, who created this new life within you. In this new life, one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. Such things mean nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters, and He is equally available to all. So don't let anything get in the way of your salvation. Remember, We are no good to anyone if we are not full of Jesus. So how do I keep my cup full of Jesus? I love this phrase that somebody once gave me. I surround myself with Jesus-loving people. That's how I fill my cup up with Jesus. I surround myself with Jesus-loving people that will, back to this, help me live this brand new life, verse 10. This new life, brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more what is right and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ, who created this new life within me, within you, within me. When I surround myself with you guys are doing that for me. You are encouraging me. You're equipping me. You're strengthening me. You're guiding me. You're like, nah, hold on one second. Isn't that the other way around? I don't think you guys know how much you influence and encourage and strengthen and guide me. I see what you guys are doing, and it makes me go, man, why didn't I see that? Man, why didn't I know that? What? Oh, they are so good. Man, I need more of them. I need more of the Rock family around me to strengthen me. And that's the same thing you should be saying to you. I need more of the Rock family around me to strengthen me, right? I need my cup full of Jesus-loving people. And we are in the best place right now. You are in a room full of people that love Jesus. Wednesday night is a building full of people that love Jesus. There is so much energy, so much just chaos, good chaos, happening on a Wednesday night. It is so good. It is so what we need in the middle of the week to be recharged, to go back out. So first thing, what's critical? Eternity. My salvation is critical because I can't help anybody if my cup isn't full of Jesus. If I'm pouring from an empty cup, then how good am I to that person? If I'm not putting that oxygen mask on me and being filled with oxygen, filled with life, then how good can I be for that person? I'll pass out. And then, oh, great. David's passed out. What do we do now? Right? I'm not saying it all hinges on me. By no means am I saying that. Secondly, people's salvation. Because my salvation is important, and I'm full of Jesus, and I'm learning, and I'm getting out there being more and more like Christ, then secondly, people's salvation. Because I'm in this intimate relationship, I'm receiving this unconditional love from God, and He doesn't want me to just stay in this old way of life. He wants me to live this new way of life. Well, I want that for other people too. I want them to experience that same love, that same grace, and same mercy that I got. So verse 12. Since you have been chosen by God, who has given you this new kind of life, and because of His deep love and concern for you, you should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others. Don't worry about making a good impression on them, but be ready to suffer quietly and patiently. Be gentle and be ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And verse 14 here. Most of all, let love guide your life. Back to that S, Savior. Follow Jesus. Let love guide your life, for then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. If we're all following Jesus, and we're all on the same mission, for the same purpose, living out different plans that He has for our lives, but for the same purpose and for the same mission, man, that's harmony. That's a lot of people on a mission showing the world what this new love looks like. Saying, don't live in that old way of life. Don't let the world rule your life. Let God rule your life. Because He wants so much good for you. He has so many good things for you. I love the quote from the devotional, Wisdom from the Proverbs. I want to encourage you guys, if you got the Bible app, look this one up, Wisdom from the Proverbs. They have this quote in there, if we can get that up When we find our peace in the Lord, we do not need to determine the behavior of the people around us. Let me read that again. When we find our peace in the Lord, we do not need to determine the behavior of people around us. That's that patiently working with them, patiently loving them. We don't have to tell them, this is how you need to live. We have peace. We gently come before them. We gently serve them. We do not need circumstances to change for us to have peace. It's not a, well, when my life gets a little better, then yes, I'll put my life in Jesus. No. He gives me peace in all the things that are happening around me, that are swirling around me, right? He is the peace. He is the calm in all the chaos. We can trust in every situation that the Lord will grant us peace, and that enables us to value people as heaven intended. When we have peace in that intimate relationship with God, with Jesus, and we're following Jesus, man, right there at the end, that enables us to value people as heaven intended. Okay? Proverbs 24:10, 10 through 11. If you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. Someone did this for you. We should do this for others. Like, that's our purpose here. It's not to do many great things. The many great things is this right here. Rescuing people. Pointing them towards a life with Christ. If you need a mission, if you need a reason to be sent, to send out for God, right there. To rescue those being led away to death. That should be the thing that wakes us up in the morning, because I know it does for me. Lord, am I doing enough? Like, really, am I doing enough? Am I making an impact, Lord? Help me be your hands and feet every morning so that I can help people start being rescued away from that thing that your wrath is against eventually. Our salvation enhances the great adventure. The next one, in need. Thank you for being patient with me. What's vital? What do we need the most of? Jesus. We need intimacy with God. Life's highest priority, guys. I want you to write this down. Right now, get your phone out, take a note, mental note, whatever it is, write this down. Life's highest priority is intimacy with God. Nothing else. Let that be the ruling thing in your life. Life's highest priority is intimacy with God. And where do I find that? In the Word of God. This thing, right here. Every time I open this thing, I'm entering into an intimate relationship with God. View it that way. This is not a textbook. This is not a history book. Yes, all those things are, there is history in this thing. But every time I open this and I read this, God is speaking to me. He is intimately delivering words that He knew will impact my life, but we're for other people in a different time, in a different place, in a different situation. But He knows. Man, before I was even knitted in that womb, Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5. Before you were even knit in that womb, I put you together. I had a holy plan before you even saw the light of day. Right here it is, guys. Right here. Every day, open this thing. This thing is your intimacy with God. Because if we don't view this thing that way, then what are we going to want to do with this thing? We're going to find other reasons to not get into it, right? I'm guilty of that, right? I get distracted all the time, right? Now, I have an 8-year-old, okay? So that distracts me a whole lot lately, right now. And I only have one, so those that have multiples of kids running around their houses, more power to you. I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know how my parents did it. There were five of us. So Colossians 3, 15 through 16. Let the peace of heart that comes from Christ be always present in your hearts and lives. For this is your responsibility and privilege. Right there. For this is your responsibility and your privilege. As members of his body, and always be thankful. In verse 16, remember what Christ taught, and let his words enrich your lives and make you wise. Teach them to each other and sing them out in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing to the Lord with thankful hearts. Guys, his word is the bread of life. We can get that up there. His word is the bread of life. It is sustenance for our faith journey. If we're going to send in his name, then we have to have this with us. We have to have, this is it. There's nothing I can get to fill me up more than this right here. We need this. His word is the bread of life. Next one, his word is the living water. Do you know that humans can't go more than 3 days without water? That's crazy to think about. I can't make it more than 3 days without a drop of water, and my whole body is just going to shut down on me. Like, that's insane. The living water. His word is the living water. We shouldn't be able to go more than an hour without his word. And I encourage you, anybody I work with, we are on these devices all the time, are we not? We can tell this device to feed me his word constantly. So don't put this thing down. Don't make this thing the distraction. Make this thing that feeds you. Your device, your phone, don't make it the thing that's tripping you up from being in this intimate relationship with God. Teach it to feed you. Social media can feed you encouraging words. Follow only things that encourage and are Jesus-loving people that will fill you full of Jesus. Set reminders. Have the Bible app remind you. We can be in his word so much and so often nowadays. Let it be the living water. Next, it's the lamp to my feet. Guys, how else are we going to know the path that we're on out of darkness unless we have a lamp to show the way? We need this thing, or else we slip back into darkness, right? We need this thing constantly guiding us. It's our lamp. It's the thing that's getting brighter and brighter, showing us the path clearer and clearer out of this darkness, and it's pulling other people in. Oh, there's a light. What happens in night and dark when we flip on a light? What happens? Right now, what happens? Right now in summer in Florida in the swamp, what happens when you flip on a light in the middle of the night? Creatures, yeah. Bugs get drawn to it, right? Instantly. You question, do I really want to flip that light on? I'm going to get attacked by a bunch of mosquitoes right now. But that's what we're doing. When we flip this light on to illuminate our path out of darkness, it's going to draw others to it. Okay? His word is truth. His word is flawless. It is 100% trustworthy. We need not doubt it. That's all I got to say about that. It is the truth. Don't doubt it. Don't let the world plant little doubts in you about his word. Pursue it. Get around people that love Jesus and help you strengthen that. And the last one, his word is his bond. He is the God of promises. There isn't a promise he hasn't kept. He will do as he says here in this word. Let that be your motivation. Okay? And last one, D, direction. So we got S, Savior, E, Eternal, in need. So what's critical? My eternity. Need. I need the thing that is vital, God's word, intimacy with him. And D, direction. This is the last two things, need and N and D, need and direction, are strengthening this S and E, the followership and my salvation. The word of God is going to strengthen me following him, strengthen my salvation. And this last one, D, direction. I love what this quote from Toby Mack. Pray first, then make plans. Don't plan and then pray for your plan to work. Or in other words, don't make plans, go do it. And then when it all goes to go, okay, God, can you help me clean this up over here? I made a royal mess of this thing, right? Like, don't do that. Simply come to him and ask him, Lord, where is it that you need me to go? You have this holy plan for my life. I need the direction. Show me where I need to go. Point me towards that person that's going to encourage me, equip me, strengthen me, so that I can be that for someone else. Remember what Pastor Monty said about shaped. The D at the end stands for dreams. And we dream with God at the center. It's his plans that will prevail. Let's make sure we're moving in the same direction of his prevailing plans. You see, prayer is the most powerful tool we have as a follower of Jesus. On this journey, don't disconnect from this God that wants to have an intimate relationship with you and reveal his holy plan that he has put together for you. Do not disconnect from that. Pray first. Then make plans. Because when we do that, then we can go back to Proverbs 19:21, and we know for certain, that the Lord's purpose is going to prevail. I know that I'm going to, when I pray first, I'm seeking God. I know that when I pray first, that I'm going to be shaped by God. And I know that when I pray first, well, I know now the path where God's going to send me. He's going to tell me. He's going to encourage me. He's going to direct me in that way. And I know when I pray first, he's going to bring me that person that I need to find so that I can lay down my life and pour out sacrificially to them, judgment-free, no condemning, just wanting them to have an intimate relationship with Jesus just as I do. And serve them. Helping them to come into a relationship with Jesus so that you can walk alongside them, disciple them, help them become students of the Word so that they will grow mature and fully assured in the will of God and go and do the same thing as Jesus did for us and many more have done over many generations. You see, prayer is the most powerful tool we have. Pray first. I cannot emphasize how much Toby Mack is right in this situation. I'm not really a big Toby Mack fan, by the way. I know everyone's like, what? I don't know. I like his stuff, but I love this stuff. I love his stuff on social media. That fell dead, right? Whoa. Everybody's like, geez, not a Toby Mac fan. That was bold to say. anyways. So Colossians 3:17, the Living Translation Bible. And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. And come with him. I love that part right there. And come with Jesus. Don't come with anybody else. Come with Jesus into the presence of God the Father to give him your thanks. Because it's because of him. All glory to him that this is happening in my life. All glory to him that impact was made because of what he's doing in my life. So I give him the thanks. I give Jesus the thanks because I'm following him who's leading me to the Father. Right? So prayer enhances the great adventure. So if we can remember this acrostics, S-E-N-D, we will ensure that the Lord's purpose is prevailing. And as we send out to be representatives of Christ, remember there is a passage that Pastor Monty brought up in the very first one of this series. It was all the way back in Isaiah. And what does Isaiah say in Isaiah 6 at the end? Here I am. Send me. And so when all these little details and all these little rhythms of preparation happen, we're getting more and more strengthened as a child of God to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. I'm ready to be following you as my Savior. I'm ready to strengthen my salvation that's going to strengthen others. I'm ready to have your word be the most vital thing that I need in my life. And it's going to be evident in my life, and people are going to be drawn to it. And I know that, man, in all of this, I will be praying and staying in constant contact with you for that direction in all things that I do, giving you thanks for everything. And that's what it's about when we send. It's not about going and doing amazing, great things and digging holes in mission trips. We will do those things, yes. But let's ensure that we do those things so that we point people towards a loving relationship with Christ. Let's make sure when we send, we check in and go, yeah, I'm gonna mark off S-E-N-D without a doubt. I'm going to send out and I'm going to be a representative for Jesus Christ because I'm doing this. And if it doesn't match any of those things, push it to the side and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to pray about this for a while. If this is not your holy plan for my life, then help me to let this go. Help me to push this aside so that I can be only focused on you. Okay? And so at this time right now, something is going on in your life and you're struggling with the sin, or if you're new in this walk and you want to know more about this sin, I want to invite you now at this time to come down. Let us pray with you. Let us help you get connected here at The Rock. We have so many great people that are ready to walk alongside you, to serve you, to pour into you. We have so many great classes that are happening on Wednesday night, Sunday mornings, discipleship journeys that are happening, pathways that are happening towards growing fully assured in the will of God. And so I want to invite you right now. This is the time. We're going to be down here in front. We're going to be waiting. We want you to come. We want you to be here. We want you to pray with you. Whatever it is that's holding you back, that's keeping you from abandoning this old way of life, come down, let's pray. Let's help you let go of it. Let's do this together.